Welcome back. I'm Leslie Marshall, and joining us is Van Jones. He's president and co-founder of a nonprofit called Dream Corps. Now, Dream Corps' current initiatives, Cut 50, Yes We Code, Love Army, and Green for All, they're creative, innovative solutions to close the prison doors and open doors of opportunity. Sounds good to me. Sounds reasonable. Common sense, right? Van is a Yale-educated attorney. He's written now three books, all New York Times bestsellers. The Green Collar Economy, it's been described as a definitive book on green jobs. Rebuild the Dream, a great roadmap for progressives, by the way, if you haven't got it. Most recently, we're going to talk about it as well, Beyond the Messy Truth, How We Came Apart, How We Come Together, which is now available everywhere books are sold. In 2009, Van worked as the Green Jobs Advisor to the Obama White House, and there he helped run the interagency process that oversaw $80 billion in green energy recovery spending. He's a correspondent for CNN and a regular guest on political talk shows. More than a pleasure to have with us, Van Jones. Hi, Van. Good afternoon.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Let's talk about your book, Beyond the Messy Truth, How We Came Apart, How We Come Together. First of all, how did we come apart? I'm a liberal. I'm a progressive. I'm a Democrat. Many of us are still in disbelief over what happened in the last election. And, you know, we just saw over the past years power go to the Republicans in the House, in the Senate. We certainly have seen in state elections, whether it's, you know, gubernatorial or, you know, otherwise. Up until last Tuesday, I think a lot of people were losing hope. And we saw really a big split, especially in the last election, between, like, if you were Hillary, us and them, or Bernie, us and them. How did that all happen, Van? You write about this in your book. How did we come apart?
Well, I think that one thing that's important to remember is that the rebellion in the country that we, you know, saw, whether it's Bernie Sanders, Black Lives Matter, even some of the energy that wound up getting sucked into the Trump campaign, is kind of justified because both political parties for a very long time were, doing dumb stuff, agreeing on trade policies that were terrible, getting us into these wars, building prisons everywhere. Both political parties signed off on policies that were just awful for ordinary people. And when you have a bipartisan elite failure at the top, with both parties hurting the public, at some point you're going to have a bipartisan rebellion, a bipartisan backlash. In the Democratic Party, that took the form of Black Lives Matter and Bernie Sanders. In the Republican Party, at first it was a Tea Party, and then it curdled into this Trump thing. And so if we want to get back to any kind of common ground, we've got to tell the truth that both parties have laid the groundwork for where we are right now.
Would you say this is, in a sense, or at least your latest political manifesto? Your writing in this book is extremely passionate. It's not just political. I can feel the passion behind your words.
Well, I have just gotten a chance to go all over the country. I've been in red states, I've been in blue states, I've been in West Virginia, I've been at the Arizona-Mexico border. And the reason I wrote this book, Beyond the Messy Truth, is that it is clear that there is common pain across the country. Everywhere I went, I saw addiction. Everywhere I went, I saw not enough jobs and not enough good jobs. Everywhere I went, I saw a broken court system, a broken criminal justice system. Common pain, but not common purpose. No common purpose yet. And to me, one of the worst things that's going on right now is that we're in a situation where we've been tricked. The people at the bottom are fighting each other. So poor white folks in Appalachia, working class white guys who are out of work in Indiana, are mad at African Americans, Latinos, and Muslims who ourselves are struggling. And so I wanted to kind of write a tough love letter both to liberals and conservatives to try to get us to look in the mirror both sides and then give some practical positive things that we could start doing. Because I don't believe the main problem is that we have too many mean, bad people doing mean, bad stuff. We certainly have that. But I think the big problem is we got tens of millions of good people, frankly, in both parties, who just don't know what to do at all. And so that's why I wrote the book.
I want to talk about that, too, because I'm glad that you pointed that out. I'm very open-minded, and I'm not just going to say, oh, yeah, we Democrats are awesome, because you know, you point out in your book, and you've talked about this on CNN and other places, there's hypocrisy on both sides of the aisle, both Democrat and Republican. Do you feel that Democrats owning our own stuff, if you will, is part of what we need to do to come together? Because we can't just be, we're not them. They're all bad. Yeah. We're not Trump. We saw that. I know we did well on Tuesday. We'll talk about that. But, you know, in the presidential election, we saw that you got to have more than just that. And not only that, but to come together as a party. I agree with you, because some of the ills that you listed that you found when you were traveling throughout the United States, Democrats didn't fix those problems either.
Well, I think that's correct. And listen, here's the thing. There's some stuff that we just are going to have to fight about. Okay, we can't. When it comes to, you know, the immigrant bashing, attacking Muslims, you know, rolling back women's rights, voting rights, and there's some stuff that we're just going to have to fight. We are not going to back down on some of this stuff, but we can't only fight and still have a country. You know, beyond the battleground, there is common ground that we're not even working on. You know, whether you're talking about the opioid and other addiction crises that are going on, the criminal justice system, the need for us to get our kids ready for the jobs of tomorrow. There's some real common ground out there that, you know, we won't even touch because we're so busy fighting each other where we don't agree. And I think that, you know, grown people can fight where you disagree, work together where you do agree. And it is true, we might be able to win in 2018 strictly on anti-Trump. We might even be able to win in 2020 strictly on anti-Trump. But winning is not enough. Can you then govern? Can you then pass bills and solve problems? You can't do that if the only thing you're doing is mobilizing your side against the other side. Part of the way that you campaign lays the groundwork for how you govern. And what I would like to see us do a better job of saying, look, there's some stuff we're just not going to agree on, and that's why we have elections. But there's other stuff that maybe Democrats, we may have drawn our circle a little bit too small in 2016. We may not have been as inclusive of, you know, some of these, you know, working class white issues. We can draw a bigger circle without losing any of our commitment to African Americans and women and Latinos and Asians, Native Americans, all those groups. We can keep those groups firmly within our circle and also
Absolutely.
Have a bigger circle to include more people.
We're going to take a quick break. Back with Van Jones, who read my mind when you hear my next question. We'll be back in a moment. We are back with Van Jones, whose latest book, by the way, is currently Amazon number one's new release and political advocacy books. It is called Beyond the Messy Truth, How We Come Apart, How We Come Together. It's available everywhere. By the way, check out the website vanjones.net, also thedreamcore.org. On Twitter, follow Van at VanJones68 and The Dream Corps at The Dream Corps. Van, thank you for holding. Welcome back. You were talking about governing versus winning elections. I agree with you 100%. One of the things I liked, even though I am on a competitor network because I'm a Fox News contributor, one of the few liberals on Fox, I do watch different places like CNN. And when I would watch you on CNN, I not only liked your style. One of the things people say about me is I have a different style. You know, I'm not the cookie cutter talking head. You are not. I like that. But I also liked the fact that, you know, you would say, okay, here's the problem, but what's the solution? One of the solutions you talk about in your book is bridge building. You have done this in your career. You have talked about this passionately on CNN and other political shows. Talk to us about that, because that is necessary in governing, that bridge building, that reaching across the aisle, that finding that common ground. Otherwise, nothing gets done, as we see from our current Congress.
Well, yeah, and you know, you build bridges where you can. I mean, sometimes people just fall into a kind of a centrism where they just, you know, split the baby and, you know, no principles. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, there are areas where both parties are, you know, in violent agreement about, you know, the need to do something, and we're not doing anything. And one of those areas is, again, you know, the criminal justice system. I had a television show with Newt Gingrich for about a year, and we disagreed on everything except the prison system. And his view was that as a conservative, the prison system has become a big failed government bureaucracy that's just eating up taxpayer dollars and giving us bad outcomes. And I said, well, geez, you know, we're going to fight on, you know, 99 things. This is one area where we should join forces and get something done. We actually got legislation introduced into Congress, and it didn't pass last year, unfortunately, but we got very close. And, we can turn right around and fight on 10 other issues. But when there is an issue where both sides, for their own reasons, agree, we should be working together. And, if we don't start doing that, listen, democracies can fail. People forget that most democracies throughout history have failed. The fact that we have a functioning democratic republic is a miracle in human history, especially when you think about how many different kinds of people, 300 different languages spoken in the United States, every faith, every color, every sexuality, every gender, every ability level, every kind of human being ever born in one country, and we're a democracy. That's amazing. And we mostly get along. But on some of these issues, you know, we've got some very hot disagreements. We can't let that unravel the entire society so that we wind up with these tribalisms and end up where we're headed, because where we're headed right now is not good.
Disagreeing. We do that, definitely. You talked about doing that with Newt. It's also, my mother would always say, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. But it's not just how you say it, it's how you disagree, right? I mean, if you disagree constructively, then you can really hear each other and maybe even see another person's point of view more clearly.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's constructive disagreement and there's destructive disagreement. With constructive disagreement, hey, listen, you know, I'm a strong liberal. I like to make sure that America's government is strong enough to do what it needs to do. Somebody else who's a conservative might be more passionate about markets. But if we argue back and forth in a constructive way about a particular problem, we might actually come up with a public-private partnership that's actually a better idea than my government solution or her free market solution. Because when you're going back and forth in that way and it's constructive, you sometimes come up with great ideas. But if it's destructive, if as soon as we disagree, I'm going to call, you know, this person a bigot, that person's going to call me a socialist snowflake, and, you know, then we go to commercial break and come back and do it again, not only are you eroding the social fabric, you also are not solving problems creatively. And so that's the concern, is that we've now entered into a world in which every political conversation just seems to be an exercise in I'm right, you're wrong, and, you know, well, no, I'm right, you're wrong. And there's never that moment where you say, well, hold on a second. I just want to understand you and where you're coming from and why you feel the way you feel, and I want you to understand me. Whether we ever agree or not, luckily we get a chance to vote against each other, you know, quite often in this country. I could vote against you tomorrow. But can I at least understand where you're coming from so that we might accidentally come up with a solution to one of these problems? That's what my book is about.
I wanted to ask you this, and I don't want to forget, because I just was like, wow, that's brilliant. You know, we all have those times where we go, well, that was really good. Good job, Leslie. Good job, Vin. You say to yourself, white lash. Brilliant. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Honestly, was it planned or were you just caught up in the moment and it just kind of came out like that?
Well, I've been talking with my wife. You know, I'm African-American. My wife is not. And we had been talking maybe a week earlier.